PITs several more days to apply for retroactive health benefits. This under the so-called PACT Act. Instead of last night, the new deadline is now next Monday. Good news for many, including retired Army Staff Sergeant Dan Evans.
I lost both legs as a result of my service. I lived with a traumatic brain injury. And in those moments, you know, I'm like, I'd never even considered all long-term ramifications from toxic exposure. It wasn't even on my radar.
Robbie Robertson wrote and performed classic rock for the legendary band called The Band.
They created a sound that seemed to draw on every aspect of American roots music at the same time as sounding like something that was entirely fresh.
Rolling Stone contributor Anthony DeCurtis, Robbie Robertson has died in Los Angeles. He was 80 years old. Some people behind San Francisco's steel bars are suing the city over the right to sunlight. KCBS's Matt Bigler.
The inmates at the San Francisco County Jail claim that denial of sunlight amounts to cruel and unusual punishment, and that lack of vitamin D has been linked to chronic illnesses. The inmates are demanding that jails end isolation practices and allow more out-of-cell time.
In South America, an anti-corruption presidential candidate has been shot and killed at a political rally in Ecuador.
It happened in Quito, which is the capital, which despite having an increase in crime is not seen as somewhere that has seen the dramatic escalation that some of the port cities have seen in Ecuador. Still, this was an outspoken presidential candidate, 11 days to a presidential election.
CBS's Christian Benavides, who is a native of Ecuador. In Haiti, kidnappers have freed an American nurse and her daughter. This some 2 weeks after they were kidnapped near the capital of Port-au-Prince. Asian financial markets closing mixed. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. GI Bill, Skill Bridge, and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So, you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
I've got some cheese curds that I'm willing to share. Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin? The great state of Wisconsin State Fair.
There's something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 3rd through the 13th.
I'm Nyheim Hines, professional football player
and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at mda.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. partly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 53. Winds out of the northwest around 5 miles per hour. Bright sunshine expected tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 80. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night, 57. Cloudy skies. High of 80 Friday with a chance for scattered storms, 80 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 61.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
What's that word?
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways.
I think it's indicates.
Indicative? Is that the word you were looking
that
for?
That is a good word, Kristen Bright.
A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bright does not believe in friendship.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the second hour, the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jay Matinair is on the board. And Greg Bach has something to say.
Okay, I would like to bring up something. This has been chapping my hide for weeks now. That intro with the three of us, who, by the way, I adore the three of us. We should have a TV show.
Got it.
You screw up what word? You can't say what word again?
Indicative? No.
Indicative is mine.
She can't say indicative. You can't say another word. I say a word that's a word.
And it's just an alternate pronunciation.
And I somehow get thrown into the mishmash of you two who can't speak. I'm upset.
That sounds like a dream. You have to take that up with the producer.
You should probably address the producer with those concerns.
I'm addressing the producer and the host. So deal with that what you will. And also, shout out to Texter in the, I believe, 608. I don't care how good you think the Cubs are. They still suck. No, that was actually Brian Kelly.
Fancy Brian texted you because he is a Cubs fan.
Fancy Brian?
That's his nickname.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he's fancy.
Wasn't he saying what the Brewers are doing?
No, he said the Cubs. He said the Cubs are the hottest team in baseball and have the most runs since the All-Star break, and they are at the top three in every offensive category since then as well. And I said, sounds like someone holding on to 2016 while in second place. Because I didn't know the Cubs were in second place. See, that's the problem with this division. I'm sorry. We won't get into this now. We got other things to talk about. I could just talk about this division for hours.
I bet Brian could too.
We're going to go to a Cubs game.
Give you guys an hour of time.
We'll do a live show from a Cubs game. Oh, I'm liking this.
Are you ready to move on?
Trust me. No, but we have to.
Okay. All right. So my question to you is, how do you feel about popular video games teaching your kids about history or science? Is this a good thing? Is it only a good thing if you agree with what they're including? I don't know how I think I feel good about this as someone who very much embraces edutainment, infotainment, the ability to meet people where they're at, which is why I like using humor when we talk about politics, which is why I know videos versus reading. Like, people learn in different ways. People consume information in different ways. But Fortnite, heard of it?
Oh yeah, I know 12-year-olds.
I think there's more than just 12. Like, this is like a wildly popular game.
Between Fortnite and Minecraft, I feel like you start at Minecraft and then you graduate to Fortnite.
Is that how it's?
It feels like, I just feel like every kid I know who was like 6 years old playing Minecraft, one day I'm like, oh, you like Minecraft? Like, I don't like Minecraft. I'm gonna play Fortnite.
I've moved beyond it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I really don't know the premise of these games. I just know that they exist. I know that they're wildly popular. But Epic Games, which is the company that owns Fortnite, just approved a virtual Holocaust museum for Fortnite.
Okay.
So it's going to be something that you can engage with as you're in Fortnite. And, you know, this is probably something that you don't think of. When, because this is, according to this article from Morning Brew, you know, This is a game where you can like play as Optimus Prime. You can like do a TikTok dance. Like there's a bunch of goofy stuff that you can do. And so I think it's like a little odd that they, you know, that you were like, oh, they can also tour a Holocaust museum inside of Fortnite now. But the digital gallery's designer, who also created the educational Holocaust game, The Light in the Darkness, tweeted that this museum, existing separately from Fortnite's main play, will be game-changing for Holocaust awareness. Fortnite has about 239 million active monthly users.
Wow.
And 80% of Americans have never visited the Holocaust Museum.
Have you ever visited
it? Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
When I was young.
Okay, that's
cool. It was awful. I mean, it was a beautifully done museum,
yeah.
But it is gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
Fortnite players who visit the Voices of the Forgotten Museum, which is what it's called, can walk through exhibits resembling those found at in-person Holocaust museums, minus photos of dead bodies and concentration camps, which would violate the game's age rating. They cannot use weapons, break anything, or dance. Epic learned its lesson after players kept doing the floss and the robot at a 2021 in-game event celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. And so I guess they're not the first to do this either. Roblox and Minecraft, two other very popular games, mm-hmm. Were used for educational purposes, like teaching students during the pandemic. And I guess reporters have also used Minecraft to make a library of censored journalism available in restricted countries.
Minecraft is one of the most amazing. I wish I had the bandwidth to play that game. I go to Indiana every year, and I see my family, and my niece is I don't know about this year, but last year she was a Minecraft fiend, and she's like, you want to see my house that I built? I'm like, of course I do. So we're sitting there, she's showing me the house. I'm like, cool, you built it? She goes, yeah, I built 12 of them. And these aren't just like a box with a roof. There are libraries in there, swimming pools, elevators. Like, it is
how's it different than The Sims?
It's not. It just looks different. It's okay. Just for a different generation. But it's an amazing thing that just engages their creativity. And I am all about this. I love this.
You love this.
Kudos to Fortnite. I think it's fantastic.
I also think it's great because I also am in the camp of, we should be teaching the Holocaust. And The fact that I think it was in, when was this? Like 2020, there was a survey that found a shocking lack of Holocaust knowledge among millennials and Gen Z. And the same goes with knowledge about slavery. Like there are things that I am very much in favor of being taught. And this is one of them. And so in this specific instance, I'm like, this is great. Good on Fortnite.
Yeah.
But how would I feel if it was something I didn't agree with and it was available to the, 289 million active users?
What is something you wouldn't agree with?
Bible study in this game? Okay. But I guess it's a private game, so they can do what they want. So exactly. I think that's why I'm tussling with it, because it's like, I think I'm celebrating this, but also, I don't know.
Well, I mean, what's to stop them from having a special room to go in to celebrate neo-Nazis?
Better example.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is I guess it would be the natural policing of either the marketplace or the people playing or that kind of thing. I mean, once again, I think if you had Nazi propaganda on your game, I think it would violate your age restriction.
Probably.
I mean, they'd have to do it in a very sneaky way, which is what our government does now to begin with. But the point is, for me, I think it's great because, kids are playing these games now when they're very young and being taught lessons in their video games on their iPads, but then eventually they grow up and out of those games and they move on to the different games, and not sound old manny, but like lose educational value. So them putting them in there, this in here to a game that everyone loves and they have the option of doing it, I think that's great. That's a 289.
The Last of Us not have educational value?
I wouldn't know. I don't play video games. If we're talking Super Mario Brothers didn't have anything about,
I learned a lot from Donkey Kong.
That's for a whole other show. But I think this is great. I just want to know then the next step of like who is going to be like, how dare you talk about the Holocaust?
And if there's backlash from
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Go broke.
Yeah. Exactly. Scott Walker, you listening? You idiot. Sorry.
Does that fall under wokeness now? Teaching the Holocaust? Is that where we're at?
Yes,
Florida.
Anything that threatens whiteness is woke. Anything that threatens your privilege as a white person is woke. You go woke, you go broke. I mean, that's, they're so tiny. They're so fragile. They're like I can't listen to anything about anything that's not me, so it's woke. You don't know what woke means. I'm talking to you, Scott Walker. He tweeted this weekend something stupid about the...
Yeah, we
glanced on it.
Anything that threatens your whiteness, your privilege, your gender superiority in the society, your patriotism, it's all woke because you can't just hear a little bit of truth or at the most...
A different perspective.
Not even pay attention. Scott, you don't watch soccer.
I know.
So what do you care?
You weren't waking up at 2 a.m. to watch the women's soccer tournament?
Well, when's the last time you drank a Bud Light? You don't. So shut up. Let kids learn. I'm sorry. I've totally made Scott Walker the enemy of this story.
But what about the... I mean, going back to this whole, you know, the U.S. women's team losing... What about when the men lost when Trump was in office?
But the thing was, is that it started from the beginning when they start when with the whole national anthem thing where they wouldn't stand for the national anthem.
Well, it wasn't even the whole team. It was. I mean, a lot of this has to do with Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah, but
and she's in the. I guess I don't think of her as controversial, but she's controversial. There's people who don't like her because there's things that she's done, things that she's said.
I think she's very controversial in the fact she threatens everything that people get fragile about, which is like, you know, she's a gay soccer player who's saying like, I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But since then, like when the Post wrote that article, everyone's like, I can't watch women's soccer. You didn't watch it in the first place. Okay. Don't act like your team just let you. This is not football. This is not watching one of your favorite players take a knee. Okay, it's soccer. It's women's soccer. You can't name more than one player. And if you can, you're going to mispronounce the name. So, yeah, it's I want to see. This is the part of me that loves just punching the bear. I want to see all the angry people come out because they're going to show their faces. And I'm like, well, why don't you want kids to learn about the Holocaust? I mean, they've made it so it's watchable by kids. It's an important event that happened. We can't change it.
Yeah.
Or do you think it didn't happen? I'm not going to name names, but that's the thing is, the people who are against this are going to do it in the name of kids shouldn't be learning this stuff. I'm the parent. I should be teaching them.
I should be teaching them. Which...
Then good. Teach them. You're not going to because you know nothing about it.
Yeah. I did not know this is going to rile you up as much as it has.
It's all on hypotheticals too.
Because that was, I mean, I'm sure there will be some. I haven't seen any yet. But is it harder? Yeah, probably. Because I feel like it's harder to come out and angrily be like, these games shouldn't be teaching about the Holocaust versus how righteous and entitled parents feel like books shouldn't be talking about gender and sex. Because we're just like a prude country. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. What do you think? Should games be taken upon themselves to be teaching history and teaching your kids, especially games that are this popular and not necessarily known for being educational? 844-967-2789. We'll take a break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hero, Greg, did you ever play that game?
I hated that game. I hated that game.
For anyone who's not watching the live stream, you're missing out. We always welcome you to watch
Pete Greg,
the As Goes Wisconsin live stream on YouTube and Facebook, and also on YouTube we edit it down so you don't have to watch the whole thing. We try to put timestamps in there so you can always go back and watch it along with, you know, instead of listening to the podcast, because when you do the live stream, you can also see the antics that you can't always hear.
The faces, the face palms.
I am a pretty expressive person, so you get to see some of the faces. I think Jane is a pretty... None of us are necessarily good at
taking it.
Poker faces.
No.
And what you just missed is Greg being very excited about that song and a very good air guitar.
I'm a good guitarist. That's what I am.
Okay.
Not an air guitarist. Respect
me. Right now, you were playing an air guitar.
Understood.
You were not actually playing just now.
You win this round.
It's kind of indisputable.
Yeah. If you put a guitar in my hand, it would work in either way.
I don't think I've ever heard you play the guitar.
Most people haven't. I don't play a lot of guitar for people anymore.
Is it just something you do at home?
Something I do at home. I got my guitars at home. I play at home. I got some really nice ones. They're... Trust me, this will take 3 segments. You don't want to ask me more.
Okay. We'll cut it out. In the last segment, we were talking about the decision for Fortnite, the very, very popular, I guess, kids game.
289 million?
Yeah, so not just kids, but that they, outside of their main play, but they have created a virtual Holocaust museum for, and I think I do in this specific instance, think that's great, because as they, there was a study that showed that 80% of Americans have not gone to a Holocaust museum. There's also studies that show, in general, millennials and Gen Z don't know a lot about the Holocaust because we're not necessarily doing a great job teaching it. And so I think, on the one hand, kudos to Fortnite, which has no obligation whatsoever as being just a form of entertainment, to take it upon themselves to teach history.
Mm-hmm.
But is it a slippery slope? That is the question.
What's the slope? Is that what you're talking about in the previous segment?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like, because there's, like you said, there's a chance that they get backlash from this. Go, you know, they're going woke. So, I mean, I don't know. Because again, I think there is a finer edge to walk. That there's still a, as much as there's a rise of white supremacism, as much as there is a rise of anti-Semitism, I still think the general consensus is the Holocaust happened.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. Please, God, let it be the case people think that.
And so I think, I just wonder how much of there would be an appetite that, or like, consideration of, well, maybe they shouldn't be talking about the Holocaust versus other topics.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, they'll be able to find out through their numbers how many people actually visited it.
That's true.
I mean, at the end, you know, and there will be a significant, there will be, I mean, in 289 million people, someone's going to be upset. And you can choose to go to it. You can choose not to go to it. The fact that it's there, it's wonderful, I think, if it's an educational tool. And hopefully, I mean, I hope that adults who play the game are like, I want to check it out. To learn more, because I mean, at the end of the day, it's just going to be teaching something that happened, and that's going to give important information to people, and maybe they'll read a book or watch a documentary. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a positive thing. And as far as the slippery slope of like what could they put in there, I don't know. I mean, like I don't think, you mentioned like what if they put something about neo-Nazis. I don't think it would go there, because I think if they're putting something about the Holocaust, they're definitely not going to do that. But say they want to put in an American history museum, and it's an American history that we've been taught our entire lives. So we're like, well, this isn't true. How about a real American history museum? You know what I mean? Yeah. I can see that. But I think if you are starting there with this topic, I think personally, and maybe I'm thinking too much of them because I don't know them, if they do other things such as this, they're going to say like, oh, this is a center where you're going to learn about the actual history of indigenous people in various countries. Mm-hmm. Or some other topic that.
I was just, as you were talking about that, I was like, I wonder how much more backlash there would be if this was a museum about slavery versus the Holocaust.
Well, that's, you know.
Because that didn't happen in our country. But and granted, this is a game that's played worldwide, so I don't want to say this is just super, you know, centric in America.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking as far as how different the reaction would be depending on what the focus of a virtual museum was.
Oh, absolutely. I think if it was about the slave trade, I think people would lose their mind. And Ron DeSantis, I guarantee you, and I'm not being, this goes along with the idea of with TikTok. He'd say, well, I want to get it banned in Florida. I want to make it so that people can't play the game in Florida. I mean, that would just be the next step, because he is an anti-woke justice warrior.
You know that they're now trying to censor parts of Shakespeare?
I saw that, too.
Because Romeo and Juliet's too raunchy.
Well, it does get pretty horny, baby.
All right, we got to wrap this up because we have a very fun guest in the next segment that I'm so excited to talk about. Taylor K. Phillips is a Midwestern lady from Missouri. She just wrote a book about a conversation starter with Midwesterners. I'm so excited to talk to her. She's also a writer for Last Week Tonight. So nice. I'm so excited to talk to her about that. So stick around. We're going to have a super fun conversation for the end of the show. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I thought I was the body table king, and I just handed my pinball crown to him.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
In Wisconsin, making memories together is for everyone, whatever your ability. So here's to soaking up surf culture right here on Wisconsin's Fresh Coast. To making time for stargazing as a family. And to imaginations clear for takeoff. Here's to festies with besties. And singing along to your favorite song. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Start your summer getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Partly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 53. Winds out of the northwest around 5 miles per hour. Bright sunshine expected tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 80. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night, 57. Cloudy skies. High of 80 Friday with a chance for scattered storms, 80 Saturday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently it's 61.
It was only our third date, so timing was not great. But he brought me a cute dog card. It said, life's less rough with you. We shared a bottle of Sancerre and some lively conversation before he walked me home.
And then we had sex, and everybody knows it. We'll say welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Mattenair is on the board. Greg Bach is here. And our guest in studio is comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips. And you laughed as soon as that song. Jane, what did you find that was a deep cut for Taylor?
Yes, I did. You got to hunt around a little bit, but I found it.
That, so what is it, Taylor?
That is an EP that I recorded with my friend Dylan Marcarell, who is an incredible composer. Over COVID, it sustained me. We wrote this comedic love songs EP, but the woman singing that part, because it's a trio that ends up doing it, is Kim Ona, who is a woman I went to college with, who, it's a very long story, but all this to say, she made her Broadway debut in a musical called Anne Juliet with 2 hours notice as Juliet. And it's like one of the most incredible stories ever. And it's so nice. It's like, that's my friend Kim who sang on my EP, which is bananas. Like, we're like, will you do this? We're doing a three. And I'm glad you played her instead of me, because she is like literally a Broadway singer and I love to sing. And you can tell in my voice that I love to sing. But
the
passion
is there. The talent.
Yeah. So that's Kim. She was on Broadway yesterday. She went on as Lady Capulet in the matinee of Anne Juliet on Broadway. So
that is so funny. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I heard of you because of your new book, A Guide to Midwestern Conversations, But then as I found out more about you, you kind of have not currently, but in normal times, not outside of the strike. You write for Last Week Tonight. You are a comedian. You are a writer. You have written for basically all of the different comedic McSweeney's and all of the things. And you also have this book out, but you're also from the Midwest. So you're not from Wisconsin, though. You are from Missouri.
I am from Missouri. I'm from Kansas City. I have my Kansas City Heart shirt on. I know that we're on the radio, but I have a Kansas City Heart shirt on. But I'm acquiring a Wisconsin or Milwaukee shirt tonight before
Perfect.
My book event.
We have a lot of those.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, we have a lot of really good merch for the state. Yeah. So let's just start with how the journey from the Midwest to being a writer on one of the most popular political satire shows out there.
It's, you know, the thing that I think is the most frustrating but also sometimes validating is literally everybody's story and journey to wherever they go in the world of television and film is so, so different. Mine is, I grew up in Kansas City, same house, 18 years, moved to the East Coast for college, came back to Kansas City to do some like fringe festival sketch comedy stuff, and then moved to New York to do the thing. But in order to do the thing, I needed to have money to pay rent, to eat food
it's
while I did
works,
the thing.
Right? Yeah.
And so I worked in advertising
okay.
for a very long time, and I was doing tutoring and copywriting and all of that. And At the same time taking improv classes and doing stand-up.
What was your go-to? Pitt? UCB?
UCB.
All right.
Oh, I was a UCB baby. Yeah, yeah. I have, in fact, I'm officiating my friend's wedding this on Friday. I met her 3 days into moving to New York.
Oh, wow.
And we became best friends. And she would have been the most important person I met at UCB, except for the other one I am married to.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, even footing.
It's close.
There's different categories. It's fine.
It's fine. It's true. And you know what? And everything with UCB. Really
are they
set
still
the stage for
defunct? Did they survive?
No, they reformed, didn't they?
They reformed since
COVID? They reformed.
COVID?
I don't know a lot about what's going on with them now. Okay. I think they're hiring teachers now and getting the theater back up and
reforming so, some of the issues that
came
to light.
Reforming situations. Maybe distributing the PPP loan that appears to maybe have only gone to, like, the finance guy. I have no idea what happened.
But,
I was UCB.
Taylor's spilling
baby.
The tea right now.
Like, this is really? A little inside. I should let you know, because we didn't talk about I lived in New York. I was more of a Pitt person.
Okay.
And so that whole community, like, and I know when everything was blowing up with UCB and stuff like that. So that's why most of our Wisconsin listeners are probably like, what language are they speaking right now?
It's United Citizens Brigade.
Yes.
Right?
And Upright Citizens Brigade. This was started by Amy Poehler. And so, like, it was at least what the second city is to Chicago and Groundlings is to L.A., UCB was to New York. Do you think that's a fair way to put it?
Yeah, I think that's a totally fair way to put it. It's the training ground. It's the building community. It's the, you know, when I was quote unquote coming up, there's like, that was where you got your comedic footing, where you got stage time. In fact, the Pitt was better at giving stage time than UCB. Yeah. The Pitt, you could just, I mean, we did so much shows. It was like you go and you do shows. And that's, I think, the wonderful thing about New York is there's opportunities to go and like do shows and put stuff up. I was a UCB baby, and then through friends at UCB, through like work in the online satire community, you build your community and you get what are called packets, which is basically the, you know, the late night way of saying we're hiring. Here's what you have to do to get hired. And after, you know, 22, 23 of those, I did a Last Week Tonight one and it made the cut.
And
fantastic.
I feel like everything I've done, like Last Week Tonight, Daily Show, like that is what has inspired me to do what I do here, right? I don't have a writing team, so I don't know if it says. But Last Week Tonight specifically, writing jokes, because that show goes so deep on research.
Yeah.
And then it is punctuated with like dick jokes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it really is the tone and the balance that it strikes. So were you always into politics and political comedy writing, or was it something that, like, how did that part come to it?
That's such an interesting question. I was always into, I think I had always considered myself a writer that was funny, more than a joke writer.
Interesting.
And part of this is also probably context. My husband is Felipe Toro Medina is like one of the best joke writers I know.
Okay.
And it's just so clean. He writes for Colbert.
Yeah.
Which is a, you know, tight joke show.
Yes.
Set a punchline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. And having the research base that we have at Last Week Tonight, I think that to me that's a better fit because I'm kind of annoying in that you see a headline and I'm like, well, that's a little bit misleading. Like, I feel like I want to learn a little bit more about it. And so with Last Week Tonight, we get to be a little bit, it's like slightly more excruciating and a little bit more, well, actually about what we're actually making jokes about. And because we use a little bit more footage, we can point out things that are like, well, let's tell you what you just saw politically. But also, did you see that thing behind that guy? That's wild. What's that doing there?
And so you feel like it was like a perfect fit. Like the way that show is structured is very different than other political comedy shows. And for your type of writing, it's why it's such a good fit.
When I was 23 in a class at UCB, we wrote our final project for a late night writing class was to write a script in a style that we thought we could write. And I was like, the only one for me is
interesting.
John Oliver. And I did a lot of other packets. You can tell. It's like I did a lot of other packets that were fine, but not up to par. And like this was the fit for my for my voice.
I used to do a show here in the city, a live late night show called the Badger Times Journal Report, which was, and I told people outright, I said, I am taking from Jon Stewart and I'm taking from John Oliver, yeah. And it would be correspondence, deep dives on topics, real guests, like political, like we had David Crowley on before he was the county executive. Wow. So like those two shows, and for me now, John Oliver has such a deep sense of being for me, that writing, that message. And the fact is, when you watch him, he barely breaks. He just keeps going.
Oh my gosh.
He pushes through where a lot of other comedians can, you know, there's a laughter and they'll say something about the laughter. He's like, nope, we're just going to keep going.
Right.
I got 30 minutes.
We don't have time.
Yeah. We're talking to comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips, and we will talk about your book, I promise, because that's why you're here, A Guide to Midwestern Conversation. But how many times does he practice before he does a live show? Because it truly is a 30-minute, I barely breathe monologue.
He's got it, you know? And it varies, and a lot of it that we don't see.
Yeah.
A lot of it, we just go to taping. And I'm not totally sure, but he is, I mean, he's a pro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that is, like, that is what he does. And it's amazing that, you know, he goes through and we write the show together and he's so involved. And then he goes out and does it.
And then he, yeah.
Which is something cool in the late night space is, like, you know, he works
that's
so hard.
That's one of the only shows that is just him, instead of there's guests, there's correspondence, there is something that breaks up the half hour.
Yeah.
Versus for that show, it's just you're on.
No.
And there's a live audience and we're going.
And it sometimes it feels like we didn't get enough time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like, oh, there's.
And then you have to do the Chuck E. Cheese special. So did you write on the Chuck E. Cheese special?
So we can't say for legal reasons what we work on or whatever.
Okay.
But I can say that that I really enjoyed watching that. And felt a lot of affection for it, and was very impressed by the work done in a way that, as a Midwesterner, maybe I wouldn't.
I could not shut up about that piece. Yeah.
We talked about it on the show because this is amazing. So what we should say, though, is right now, you are not currently working.
I am not.
You are still, once the strike is over, that will be your job. But right now, you're not. So how is the strike going, Taylor?
It blows.
Yeah.
But it is also kind of awesome.
Okay.
Because no one... It's in context, right? On this side of the threshold, which is we have to be on strike, there's no option, right? There is no alternative to this. We made our requests to the studios. They are eminently reasonable. And not only have they, like, there are some that they declined. There are some that they, you know, came back and negotiated. And there are a lot that they just refused to negotiate with us about. So there's just no debate about whether or not this is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But the idea of agreement among thousands and thousands of writers, a 98% vote in favor of the strike, the idea that SAG now has said, you know, even a higher percentage of their membership, which is much bigger than ours, yeah, also said this situation is untenable. It's the most unified group I've literally ever been a part of. And so to be on picket lines with those people, you know, discussing what is going on in our industry, like on social media and whatever with those people, it feels really good because it feels like we're going to win. Like, I don't have any real doubt.
Oh, that's interesting.
About where this is going, because I really feel like the studios still don't understand who they're messing with. And the army that they have created.
They literally can't do it without you guys.
Could you tell them that? They don't seem to totally get that.
I can't remember. I think it was the chief executive officer of ABC when he came out and said, well, we have a strike-proof season. I said, you just showed how much you don't care by saying, meh, we'll go ahead and just put on reality shows and whatnot. Nothing against reality shows. But like when he said that, I'm like, oh, well, you obviously think this is nothing to you. This is nothing to you.
Right. And it's, you know, way up at the top, it feels like those people don't care about making TV. But there are a lot of executives, a lot of suits who genuinely...
Who got into this for a reason.
To make TV.
Yeah.
And to make movies. And to you know, as much as you're like, you know, to tell stories. and it makes people a lot of money. People love to go see it. You know, not to be a broken record, but like, did we all see how many people showed up at the movies?
Well, I think about like, that. I think about The Last of Us. I think about these like cultural moments of that even without the same kind of consolidation of everyone watching the same thing, because there's so many different streaming services, there's so many different ways to absorb content, but there's still things that we all get on board with and want to talk about together. Yeah. And it's, a lot of that is really good writing and really good acting.
Yeah.
And it's just, and that's what it is. That's their product. That is the only thing a lot of these people make.
Mm-hmm.
And we make it. And so,
well, we only have a minute left for this segment.
Okay.
And I want to talk about your book.
Tell me.
So when we come back, we'll talk about the other thing that you're doing right now, since you're not writing for the show, and what inspired it, where people can get it, and like all of those Midwestern roots that you you tapped into for the book. So our guest is comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we'll be back in just a minute.
And bathrobes too. We ate oysters in our bed.
Oysters in
topped
our
it up
bed.
With some dark chocolate.
Chocolate.
What a lovely night alone.
During which we had sex, and everybody knows that it would actually be weirder if it didn't go that way. The night ended in intercourse, a special hotel kind. The whole point of this day night was for us to bone.
After 4 years of marriage and 6 years together, we decided just to spend a nice night at home.
But we didn't have sex because we ate too many nachos. It was in our plans initially, but then we got full. We didn't feel the pressure since we still have sex like all the time. We ate our chips and cheese and then we fell asleep.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Jane Matinere on the board. Greg Bach is here. And we are talking to comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips. And let's talk about your book, A Guide to Midwestern Conversation. What is it?
Well, it is a love letter in 140, I don't actually remember the page number, illustrated pages. It started as a McSweeney's piece.
Okay.
And it is just the, at the beginning, like at its nascence, it is things that we say in the Midwest and like what we mean when we say them. It's
like,
not
no, yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, no. Or like,
let me just get around you real quick. It's
yeah. Exactly.
Oh, right,
yeah, exactly.
Right by.
And like,
do you guys say open Missouri?
There is, it's like we don't realize that we do it.
Yeah.
It's, and so many people over the course of like the book or talking to have come up and being like, I didn't realize that I did it.
Or realize that this is a regional thing that I do.
Exactly.
That other people don't do this.
That's and you probably had this had a similar experience where it's like you don't realize that until you move away
mm-hmm.
and people start pointing out things about you that you're the kind of reaction is like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, everybody
like
does
you
that.
Say the word bag and bagel.
Yes, bagel.
But it's also
yeah.
funny how quickly it comes back when you move back.
Immediately. It, like, just even just like a slight twang. And for me, it's not even Kansas City. It's that my dad's from the south of Missouri. So like even just talking to him, it'll just go a little bit, like just a little bit, like
okay.
not much, but like,
yeah,
it'll get up there.
I went to New York once with a bunch of people and we were talking and my friend's friend who I didn't know, he goes, I can tell you're from the Midwest. I said, why? He goes, you look people in the eyes and you smile a lot. And I'm like, that's, I don't know if that's a compliment.
It's wild. I went to a Starbucks on Park Avenue and I said, good morning, how's it going? And the man looked terrified. He was frightened. He was like, is this a new type of stick up? Like,
and was that a culture shock when you left Missouri to go to school out east? Was that like a huge difference culturally?
It wasn't. The culture shock was more people expecting me to have a culture shock.
Okay.
It was like we would all, you know, be lined up in the freshman room talking about where we were from. And it would be, I'm from Boston. I'm from New York. I'm from Connecticut. I'm from Florida. I'm from California. I'm from Vietnam. And I'd say, I'm from Missouri. And people would go, oh, that's so far.
Or where is that?
Like, just mentally.
Did they let you in on a special deal or something?
Just like, what is that? And one time, like, the dean of freshmen was like, hello, welcome. And I was like, hi. He was like, where are you from? Where are you joining us from? I was like, oh, I'm from Missouri. The man talked slower. He said,
no.
How are you liking it here? And I was like, well, there aren't near as many cows. Like, what the heck do you think I'm about to do? That was the culture shock.
It really is true. In 2023, in a world of massive ability to get information, people from the coasts still think we are barefoot cow farmers. Like, literally, people I've met who are like, I didn't realize that places in Wisconsin all had running water or, like, indoor toilets. I wish that was a joke. It's true.
It is true.
It's amazing. And they're not embarrassed by it.
Well, yeah. Especially because Kansas City is a... I think Kansas City is bigger than Milwaukee. How many people live
there? It is. We Googled that on the way here.
So it's like, because it's a size of... It's a big city.
It's a big city. We got the World Cup. We had the draft. We've got Mahomes.
You got your own song in Oklahoma.
We got our own song and I'm seven stories high.
You got a baseball team that I don't want to talk about.
There.
Nobody needs to talk about it.
So what was the motivation? Like, was it just because you're like, once the McSweeney's article did well, where you're like, I think this could be a book?
I wish that I could say that, but really it was a bunch of other people saying, this did really well. You should make it a book. And me saying, I don't know. For like 3.5 years.
Procrastination.
And when I say people, I mean...
Midwestern.
Exactly. I was like, oh, I don't think so. Oh, I think that's a little too much. You know, dear.
Midwesterners, we don't, and I say this with loving heart, born and raised in Wisconsin, we do not think on those levels of like, there's abject failure and complete success. We love to hover in the middle and like, this is good. This is good.
Right.
Let's not push it. Let's just stay kind and humble. We got what we got. We can pay our bills.
And don't let it go to your head.
Don't let it go to your head.
Don't talk about your success.
Do not forget your raisin. All right.
Exactly. Well, that's in one of the initial piece. One of the Midwestern things is like, look at you, you big city girl.
Yeah.
Which means you think you're better than me.
Oh, we're like, so good at that.
Well, look at you in the big city. How is it up there? Is it safe? You know. It's like now I'm stuck between.
Which is also funny because then there's layers to that. Because yes. I'm sure from being, I would imagine, because this is the same dynamic, a similar dynamic in Wisconsin is there's Madison and there's Milwaukee and then there's the rest of Wisconsin. And there's feelings about that. I would imagine it's similar in Missouri as far as there is more rural Missouri and then there's Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, I'm from the big city.
And so you're already from the big city and now you really live in the big city. And so like the layers removed of even the people who are in the big city of Kansas City are thinking like, she's in New York.
And she works in television. Right.
They charge you extra for French fries on the side of your burger there, which is true. And it's redonkulous. But now I am caught between. It's like in New York, I'm like this kind of sweet, nice, nobody's met anyone nicer kind of pushover. And in the Midwest, everyone's like, is she for real? This is a cutthroat witch.
Really?
Like not always, but they're kind of like, oh, wow, you're like really...
You're direct.
You know, you're direct.
You're very direct now.
Oh, wow.
And how much do you feel like since leaving... in your heart of hearts, where do you feel like the balance is of like, you can take the girl out of the Midwest versus you can't take the Midwest out of the girl?
I think I said to someone this morning, it's like, I'm a Kansas City girl with a New York address, which feels mostly true. But I think that I operate at a New York pace.
Okay.
I think I have like the Midwestern sort of understanding, a kind of lack of judgment, which is something I think that is very Midwestern, is like, I think that there's a feeling of what are the rules here, you know, and I will mostly adhere to them. Do we take off our shoes in this house?
Yeah.
You know, what, like, are we getting appetizers, dinner, dessert, or are we just eating, you know what I mean? Like the kind of how your family does it, how my family does it. I'm curious about it, which I think that curiosity is not as pronounced on the coasts. And I think I try to still have that.
That's a really interesting observation that I would agree with.
Right? Like, it's something you don't think about you go places and be like, oh, I feel really strongly about, like, the way my family does things. And it's like, what a weird thing to say. I would never
assume that we got it right.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, do we, you know, like my dad doesn't drink. He hasn't drank for 36 years. And, like, we go to somebody's house and he brings his diet soda with him the first time. And then... he'll always bring it with him just in case. But as soon as anybody's ever had my dad's like, oh, yeah, we got Diet Pepsi in the thing. Because nice. Carrie's come, you know?
All right. Well, that went by so quickly. We have so much overlap in common. I'm just excited to talk to you after the show.
Yes.
But Taylor K. Phillips, you can buy A Midwestern Conversation anywhere you can buy books. I will link it to today's show notes. I'll also link her social media if you want to follow her on X or
on X
things.
Or Instagram.
But it was so fun to have you in person.
It was so fun to see you guys. I am so grateful.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who called into the show, texted into the show. We will be back tomorrow to do it all over again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James Help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, alright, you got me, I give up.
That's it! The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough. But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving Central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. There are fatalities as a result of those raging wildfires on the Hawaiian island of Maui. The damage there is enormous. State officials took a late-night look a short time ago. Lieutenant Governor Sylvia Luke.
Just to fly over Kihei and continue to see the burning flames and see firsthand the impact on Lahaina and Lahaina town was just so shocking and devastating.
With more, correspondent Mark Strassman.
Flames had wiped out hundreds of homes and businesses and Hawaiian history. Lahaina, a mecca for tourists, used to be the capital of Hawaii's ancient kingdom and a major fishing port.
This is such a cool old town. That's really tough to think about.
Witnesses say Lahaina lies in scorched ruins.
FBI agents have shot and killed a Utah man in his 70s after an early morning confrontation. It followed posted threats of violence against President Biden and people involved with those criminal investigations of former President Trump.
They were there because Robertson had been making social media threats to kill or inflict bodily harm on President